One of the greatest pleasures of my life is film, movies. Growing up in Fresno, California, with hot, horrible summers, movie theaters were a wonderful, cool escape. Here are some of the reasons I love film. Sitting in a dark theater with people who enjoy what I enjoy and suspending my disbelief for 2 hours. Escaping into another world, another life, a different universe. What is better than that? Add popcorn and a cold drink, and I am in heaven.
This is Gloria Moraga's One-on-One, a show designed to improve face-to-face communication in the digital age.
Well, the virus has shut down movie theaters. It's my major form of entertainment. So I binge watch films at home, and I'm very happy doing it. It's the way I always wanted to spend my extra time, and I never had time to do it, and I do now. One of my most beloved colleagues when I was working at the university is Dr. Roberto Polo, film and theater professor. He's a writer and a director, and a mentor to students and professionals. We connected on Zoom. We talked about films he recommends we all watch or rewatch and enjoy now that we are staying home.
Hi, good to see you.
But it's just wonderful to see you. As I mentioned to you, how much I miss you, and I really do. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just staying home. How about you? What are you doing? You're teaching from home or?
I'm teaching from home. All of my classes are from home. Particularly difficult when you teach film, right? What other options do we have but that than to make the best of it? Right now, we were told that summer school is also going to be online. And then depending on how this pandemic works out and filters through, the fall semester is pretty much up in the air at this point.
Wow.
So we take it one day at a time, my dear. Yes. One day at a time.
Yes, we do. So to give us a diversion, I was thinking about you because I was going through, like, what movies do I need to force on the children now that we're all together? When you are teaching a class, what films do they need to watch if they want to get into film and be great filmmakers, or if they want to study film? Or
for me, it's an exercise in futility because I have so many films that I love, right? But I love the history of film, and I love to trace film. And so if a person loves film, and if you are confined to the house, right, because we can't go to movies anymore for a while, you know, where do you start? Well, it all depends, you know. If you're thinking about American cinema, right, particularly, a good place to start would be to go to the years of the Hollywood studio system.
Huh.
You know, we're talking about from the 30s, late 30s, all the way up to the 50s, where Hollywood produced so many great popular films. And I'll take one genre, for instance, which is film noir.
Uh-huh.
There is such a rich history there of great filmmaking because so many of this film noir cinematic masterpieces were influenced by the Europeans in terms of the way that they lit the scenes. They captured the lighting in the individual shots, the shadows, for instance, you know. That whole European sensibility really crept into Hollywood through film noir, which is really an American cinematic genre. So I think that if people are interested in American cinema, you need to study those studio years and look at the great films that came out of that period, which are melodramas, right? And again, once again, the war films, the genre of the war film, which is so powerful, the genre of film noir, the comedies that came out of the period, Humphrey Bogart.
I don't want to nail you down here, but when you were talking about this, I was thinking of the first thing that came to my mind was Maltese Falcon.
Absolutely.
Name a couple of them when you talk about film noir.
Belle Identity is a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. Dead on Arrival, right?
Yeah.
Of course, depending on how you look at it, all the crime movies, which are so exceptionally good. I have to, one of the great American films, and it's more or less film noir, but not really, but to an extent it is in terms of the way that I was designed. You mentioned Maltese Falcon is one of them, but also Casablanca, which is one of the great, great masterpieces of American cinema.
Casablanca, I'll just say, for baby boomers like myself, I think Casablanca, why our divorce rate is so high, is because seeing that film and watching them in love, and Humphrey Bogart and the kind of man that he was, and gave up the woman he loved, just ruined a romance for me. Because no one could measure up to Rick, Humphrey Bogart.
That's true.
He's in so many of my favorite movies. But I interrupted you. Yeah. I wanted to interject about Rick and love.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because for instance, when you look at the character of Rick, it really manifested the masculinity. The way that Hollywood depicts the whole image of masculinity, which brings about the hero, the tragic hero. Rick is a person like we are at the bottom of his heart. He's a true committed capitalist who doesn't give a rip about what is going on around him. What he wants to do is survive personally through his business, right?
Yeah.
And he will do anything he can to do so away from the United States. He wants out. He's really an exile.
Yeah.
He's an exile member. He's an expatriate. But he's still the whole mystique of the American hero.
Yeah.
Down to earth. Working man, and he comes across the femme fatale that comes back to hound him. And then he's willing to get rid of everything he has for her sake, even when he realizes, and that's the test of true love, even when he realizes that he cannot have her and he will sacrifice himself. And he will sacrifice everything he has to let her go, knowing, of course, that he's going to come back to the business eventually, because evil has been wiped out. The German officer gets shot. He's the perfect film noir tragic hero.
Yes.
Through love, through a love story. It's a masterpiece of a film.
Yes, it is.
The postman always rings twice. It's another one.
The Postman Always Rings Twice, starring John Garfield and Lana Turner. Garfield plays a drifter who stops at Lana Turner's roadside diner. The diner is actually owned by Turner's husband, who is at least 20 years older than the young, sexy, blonde Lana Turner. The film is about love, sex, greed, betrayal, all the good stuff. John Garfield is a total hunk, beautiful to watch on film. The chemistry between the two stars is electrifying. Even though Garfield plays kind of a loser, it doesn't matter. You love him anyway. You just can't take your eyes off him.
Oh, yeah. Powerful. Powerful mystique. Again, it's the whole concept of the working class American who is flawed as hell, but he's still charming. And we root for him, you know? It doesn't matter whether he is a criminal at heart. He's still a part of the American ethos.
Yes.
So that's what I like about it. Another great film, of course, when we look at, if we talk about the early cinematic examples, we cannot ignore Orson Welles. And again, we need to look at, Citizen Kane, Magnificent Ambersons, mm-hmm. all of his great films. But above all, I think if you love him, unless you see Citizen Kane 10 times, you don't know the film.
And I can now watch Citizen Kane and find things that I missed. And that's the mark of a true...
Oh, sure.
...of a true great film. Is you watch it back and you take
it's a wonderful film
because your life changes, and as you get older, you see different things in the film, and that's a great film,
exactly,
as far as I'm concerned. Yeah,
yeah, and it's the other side of the coin of our American national ethos, right? Yeah. So you have with film noir these characters that we have been discussing. These are working class people that are trying to make it in society. With Citizen Kane, now is what we're going through today. You know, the corruption of capitalism, the corruption of capitalism into our system, and how it pollutes our souls if we're not careful enough, if we're not cautious enough, is going to control us. Is going to get inside of our minds, is going to then make us invisible, powerful, evil, right? And so he represents the other side of the American dream, which is the capitalism that has built this nation. But we still root for the character. We are there, we see his tragic fall. We share in his pain, we understand him. And when he falls. And for us as Americans, it's a cathartic experience of the tragic fall of consumerism and capitalism.
So then there were the 60s and all of that kind of, you know, Easy Rider, Midnight Cowboy, which was just such a...
Sure.
Such a film.
Well, it changed the way that we watch movies, you know. And then I'm glad you mentioned that particular period because there's so many examples. Easy Rider is one of the great American films because it amplified and put our society under a microscope. But I'm thinking about the from that era also, the manipulation of one of the great genres of American cinema, which is the Western, right? And so you look at the films of Sam Peckinpah.
Sam Peckinpah's most popular film is the 1969 The Wild Bunch, a Western, extremely violent. He also directed Major Dundee, Ride the High Country, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, Straw Dogs, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and so many more great, complex, and beautifully shot films.
And when you look at the films of Sam Peckinpah that are so gritty and they are so incredibly violent, right, which is really representing who we are as Americans when we are now involved in Vietnam, right? And so through the eyes, in that particular period of time, picking Sam Peckinpah as an example, he also then magnifies the historical antecedents of the United States. He goes back to the Western and he says, hey, this is what we are in our mid-20th century. You know, we are as violent and even more violent than we were ever before, because our history is based on violent migrations, for instance, what we did to the Native American populations, right? And so Sam Peckinpah is a perfect example of great filmmaking that really goes at the core of who we are as an American society. But these are all very well-made, well-developed, intellectually curious, aesthetically gorgeous films that break the barriers of the cinematic industry and cinematic technique, for that matter. Mm-hmm. On the brighter side, there is the musical, right?
I grew up with 50s musicals. I grew up singing 50s musicals.
Yeah.
Family will tell you, and I never stopped singing. Yeah, the musical.
Yeah, so have I. We should have been together. We should have sang all our teenage years away. Yeah, how the musical has influenced, again, who we are.
Yeah.
And in moments of pain and tribulation. But the great, let's face it, when it comes to the musical genre, the United States, staying with our national identity, the United States is responsible for the proliferation and the creation of musical theater. That genre, that form of entertainment is purely American. The British borrow it later on, but it's our genre. We developed it. It comes out of a period of chaos during the war, made some beautiful examples of musical films.
So just name some of your favorite musicals.
Probably all of them. You know, the big ones. You go back to Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, mm-hmm. South Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, of course, West Side Story. Carousel, again, one of the most gorgeous symphonic, cinematic, well, theatrical and then cinematic examples of our genre. All of the Rodgers and Hammerstein, mm-hmm. for that reason. But also the Busby Berkeleys, going even before that.
Right.
Or the beautiful, gorgeous musicals of Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. Right, which deals so much with class structure,
mm-hmm.
And who we want to be in America, what we're capable of doing. So the musical genre, the tradition of the musical film, reinforces and uplifts who we are during difficult times.
Yes.
And so it's a very important. So go back to the early musicals and study those and look at them with joy.
If you can get people to sit with them, you know, the millennials and the others, when you talk about we invented the musical, I never even thought of that. I don't know why. I thought it came from England because of Pirates of Penzance or something like that. But that's ours. And, you know, then we have the music video that everyone loves now and YouTube. And so it all comes back from that, though. I mean, that's the genesis of watching people sing and dance, and what a joy that is, because nothing is more beautiful than
that's right
dancing, or any dancer dancing to music with a woman.
And millions of high school, grade school, junior high school, and high school students that grew up watching these great musicals, wanting someday to be there on the stage. And so you have millions of young people, literally, who really want to become performers, you know, dancers, singers, which is a part of our culture, who we are as a culture. We bring it with us from the 1800s, through the variety shows, through vaudeville, right? And it's part of our tradition.
Right. So before I let you go, it's so good to talk to you. It's so good to talk about film. Anything like must see from this year, the last year? I mean, did you see Parasite? And what were your thoughts? It won,
Award. Oh, yeah. Well, I have two films, and they happen to be foreign. They happen to be international films. You mentioned Parasite. Parasite is one of the great films made in a long, long time. I was just totally taken aback by the beauty, the script, the mise-en-scene, the storyline. That is one of the most important films, surely, that speaks to our current societal and political ills. Another one is, of course, Roma. I think that as Americans now, since we're so much more connected to our global experience through things like Zoom and instantaneous communication, I think that, and I see that in my students, now they're becoming more and more interested in international cinema, right? It's more available. We have been isolated for so long from European and African and Latin American cinema, right? Oh, God forbid that we're going to read subtitles. Right. So I think watching international films is also a very good way to study society through cinematic representation.
There are just some great foreign films. And I think for the older generation, I think now that we're all hard of hearing, because of rock and roll, we put the titles out anyway. We put closed captioning on so we can catch every word. And so now it's almost easier.
That's
to
right.
And watch a French film. I love thrillers, and they're just some great thrillers from Latin America, but also from French cinema and others. So it's nothing like a good murder mystery in French. It just kind of takes your breath away. They're so
sure.
Oh, tell me about the other one you mentioned. What's Roma about?
Roma is about the class structure in Mexico, between the haves and the have-nots, and it's about a maid, right, who works in this very higher middle class family, and who basically raises the children, who cleans the house, who is the woman that moves forward that household while the parents, and particularly the father, is out making money, and so that he can feed the family. They really depend on the servant, right? The maid.
Right.
Not only a person who cleans, cooks for the children, does all of the housework that keeps a family home in order and organized. She's the only single person that makes that household go forward, because the parents are able financially not to have to worry about that, right? And so the soul of the film is this wonderful character who is both maid, dishwasher, does the laundry, cooks the meals, and becomes the mother of these children, these upper middle class families. And I recommend that.
Okay.
This is why international cinema is so important. Anyway.
Yes. Well,
you know what I think you and I should do sometime? We need to sit down and do a binge ourselves on films.
I would love to
have a binge section.
I can bring One of the first movies I downloaded when I was getting into iTunes, you know, and down, I was going crazy buying movies, was South Pacific. And that has, like, international and issues and racism and, you know, all of those things were packed
in
that film, you know, with songs and with, you know, I'm going to wash that hand right out of my hair.
A song.
So,
And I mean, that particular musical was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
It had a subtext that American people didn't realize it until they confronted on screen.
Right.
So South Pacific is one of the most important musical films and theater pieces, and then films that really speaks to our culture during the war.
And even now. Even now, a song
like even now
got to be taught, you know, to be afraid of.
Yeah, that's it.
Who don't look like you.
Perfect.
Perfect
example.
We definitely need a binge. Roberto.
You know, as you talk about these things, I'm fondly remembering our conversations of the past, because during our conversations you always offered so much insight and knowledge about popular culture, because you're a journalist, you know, because you're a writer, because you read, and because you're interested in critical thinking. I'm honored to be able to talk to you once again because of what you represent. I love you very much.
I love you too, and I just thank you for your teaching and your work with students, and your vast knowledge of all things political. And you know, we didn't even get into some of the plays that you've written and produced with the students, the Che Guevara stuff, but everything you bring to students. So you are a gem.
You're too kind.
You are a gem. It's so wonderful to see. Let's do this again, okay? I know that technically
we will.
Yeah, things aren't easy doing technical stuff with our old computers or with our low whatever internet connection, but love you and love seeing you, and thank you for all your insight.
Well, we will see each other soon face to face, okay?
I'll include Roberto's film recommendations and mine on my website, GloriaMorava.com. If possible, I'll include where you can watch the films. For example, Roma is available on Netflix. I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with film and theater director, writer, and professor, Dr. Roberto Pomo. If you do, please let me know. Comment, subscribe, download, share. Be safe.